As I was meditating over the scripture that we have this week, I just begin to realize that God is calling a time where he is really bringing and rising up a remnant that will embrace his truth, because we come to the reality of understanding that, again, our forefathers inherited lies that did them no good, and we receive them from them, and it's doing us no good. That God literally wants us to return back to the truth of his word, because we've made the gospel of Jesus Christ something that it is not. And God is saying, return to me, my people, so that I can teach you my truths. When I look at the Israelites and I see over the generations and the years, beginning from the time when God brought them out of Exodus and started them on their way, it was subtle things that came in that had them convinced that they were still following after the God who had brought them out of Egypt, and they absolutely were not. Saints, I want to tell you that I believe that we really are in that same situation, that we've deviated and come away from the God of the Bible while still thinking that we're serving him and we're not. And tonight, God wanted me to share this. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And when I was asking God, what are we chosen for? And not just for salvation, as beautiful and wonderful as that is, but there's more to it than that. What are we chosen for? And here's what he gave me. He gave me chosen to suffer. And I said, how is that? And he said, I want you to look back through the scripture and see that those who genuinely served me from the very beginning after sin entered into the world, those that were used by God, those that were chosen, you can see that they've suffered. Look at Noah, building that ark for 120 years. Yes, he was obedient to God, but look and see that he had to have been mocked and made fun of, because remember, no one knew what rain was because it had never rained before. We look at the things that even went on with Abraham, and Abraham followed God when God said, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, leave your land. And when you get to the place, I will tell you that it is that place. And God made him beautiful promises that he was going to make him the father of many nations, and through him, all the families of the earth would be blessed. But right after that, the Bible says a famine came, and not just a famine, but a severe famine came. And when that severe famine came, he ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, Pharaoh ended up with his wife. Now, I know many of us will say, well, you know, he lied. Well, okay. I'm just so glad that God didn't appreciate our lying, but lying doesn't disqualify us. Amen. Especially when we repent, and in Abraham's case, I don't see where he did, but God didn't disqualify him from his plan and his purpose that he had. Abram, who became Abraham, his wife is taken from him, the woman that he loved, the wife of his youth. Can you imagine? Now, the scripture does not say how long Pharaoh had Sarah. It is more than an hour, more than a second, and probably more than a day. And then God shows up. So again, chosen by God to suffer for him. Amen. But here's the beauty of this. The beauty is that if we know that we have been chosen by God, and we genuinely love God, this will not be a burden and a hardship. This will be exciting, because we'll know that we know that I am worthy. God finds me worthy to suffer for him. Remember that when Peter and John, when they were taken because they had healed an individual, the Pharisees have them stand before them. They are thrown in jail. They're beaten and all of those things. What did they do? When they were released, they said that God had finally found them worthy and to enter into the suffering of Jesus Christ. Remember Apostle Paul in the New Testament, so that you'll know that this is not just in the Old Testament and only the prophets of old or the people of old who served God suffered and went through some things in life. When Jesus called Paul and he sent in Ananias to see Paul because Paul is blind in the book of Acts, he tells Ananias, who doesn't want to go because he's heard the things about Paul and Paul's reputation has spread. But Jesus said, you go, because I've already told him all the things that he must suffer for me. Amen. Glory be unto God. And then this same Paul said something that's so profound. And what he said is, oh, to know him. I mean, like a longing and agony, a desire to know him and to enter into his suffering and the power of his resurrection. And I believe that if you study the life of Apostle Paul, you will see that God answered Apostle Paul. His prayer got answered. You say, how can you say that? Well, he is the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But Paul suffered, and Paul even testified that he was beaten, that he was shipwrecked, that more things happened to him than any of the other ones. So, saints, I believe that the enemy and his deception has caused us to believe a gospel that says, when we come to Christ Jesus, everything is going to be great and wonderful. We're not going to have any more problems, any more concerns. And the reason why he wants us to believe that is because when the challenges come, when the persecution come, when the trials come, when the tribulations come, oftentimes we will believe that God has forsaken us, that God has left us, or we begin to say, oh, I must have done something wrong, and God is upset with me, God doesn't care for me, God is angry with me, and it's just not the truth. Amen. This is the platform of Tour of Truth, and God wants us to return to truth. I believe that God is dispelling a lot of things that are absolutely not true, because he's preparing us for what is coming. The scripture said that we who are in him are going to go through the refiner's fire, and the refiner's fire of silver, and then the scripture says, and then into gold. That fire causes the impurities and the things that come out that lessen its value. It is through the fire those impurities are released and they come out. Then how does the refiner know when it has gone through enough fire and enough of the conditions when he's able to see himself in the silver? But God has told us we're going to go from the silver to the gold, which means more fire and more intensity. The good news is when we receive Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what the word says. So again, for those of us that have been chosen, it is a beautiful thing. Now I want you to open up your Bibles with me, and we're going to begin in Mark chapter 13, verse 9 through 13 is where I'm going to begin reading. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to the council, and you will be beaten in the synagogue, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to me. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, for whatever is given you in that hour, speak it, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brothers will betray brothers to death. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, do you see what the word of God is saying? It says, he who endures to the end. Who endures what? The suffering, the persecution, and the things that are going to happen. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus tells us that we ought to rejoice when we are persecuted, when we're reviled for the sake of his name, because so they did the prophets that were before us. Amen. So what is the response and what is God looking for in our time of suffering? He's looking for us to rejoice. Rejoice, because Jesus made some wonderful, some profound statements. He suffered, so shall we. Saints, we got to return back to the word of God. The Bible said that a time will come when they will no longer tolerate or desire or want sound doctrine, but they will want that which tickles their ears. I believe that we have been under that wave of deception for quite some time. That's why most are comfortable with the prosperity message. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. Everything is going to be wonderful for Lottie Dottie, everybody, because you're in Jesus Christ. And I believe it is, with the right mindset and with the right understanding, knowing that whatever comes my way, my God is faithful and God is using this, because in his word in Romans 8:28, he says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So our suffering is a part of God's purpose. Now we're going to look at Joseph. Joseph went through some things, and he says what the enemy meant for harm, God uses it for good. Amen. And that's what we will remember. We're in a time where most, if you're not going through something, you just came out of it. He wants us to understand that these things are not because he does not love you. They're not because you're so full of sin that you deserve this. No. Look at the apostles. You look at their life and how they all left the earth. It was a very brutal and horrible, horrific death. Who do you know in the scripture that God used, whether it was major or minor, that did not suffer and did not go through anything? I'm going to give you some examples. Remember that the woman who had the alabaster jar, who came and anointed his feet, you know, dried them, all of that stuff, put the expensive oil on him. And Jesus said she was preparing him for his burial. And every time that story was told, a memorial was established for her. But remember, she had gone through some things. She had suffered some things. I would surmise to you that even in that room, she went through some things. Because remember, women were not allowed. She should not have been there. And I can tell you that the Pharisee was not looking at her with tender kindness, with loving eyes. He was saying, what is that woman of ill repute doing in here? Why is she here? The woman with the issue of blood, who had this blood disease for 12 years, and she had suffered. She was rich. She had money. She had lost it all, seeking doctors and all of these things, no cure. And I believe that she crawled to Jesus. That's why she touched the hem of his garment. She couldn't stand up. She was weak. 12 years of suffering. Now, go with me as we go to 1 Peter. Verse 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of man, but for the will of God. Amen. So what is he saying? He's telling us that as long as we are living, we're going to go through some things. And God is going to take us from the refiner's fire over and over again. It won't be a one-time thing. We will continue to go through things and experience things. Lucifer hates God. And because he hates God, he is going to destroy and he wants to get rid of God. You are not the main target. He simply uses you and I as a means in order for him to have his way with God, to be able to try to do whatever it is with God. We're simply the pawns. We become a target because God's name is on you. He is in you and his name abides on you. See, you have become that place. You are the living stones. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. Just as the Ark of the Covenant, we're simply ambassadors here in Jesus' name. We are all going to have tough seasons in our lives. And again, you may say, well, I didn't join this Bible study because I needed to hear this. I wanted some words of encouragement. I want to assure you, I am encouraging you because God wants us to be prepared, to be made ready for what is coming. And forewarned is forearmed. Amen. And as we know that we are in the last days, we are closer to Christ's return than ever before. When Romans 8, 29 and 30, it says this, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. We will not be able to be conformed to the image of God's son without God taking us some things so that we can get rid of the things of the world. Amen. When he said, come out from among them, he's talking about behavior. We are not to act like the enemy and live according to the ways of the world, but we are to live according to God and God's ways. Saints, God has never lowered his standards, and he's not about to now. In fact, Jesus raised the bar. He raised the standards. God is at work, and he's working through us, and suffering is a part of that and what he's doing. The chosen, again, suffer because God is preparing us for what is ahead. Let's look at Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was to do the will of God. Jesus did not come to have his own way, to do his own will. He did not come so that he could tell the Father what he did not want to do, what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, but he came to fulfill the will of God, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Amen. He was fully God and fully man. And the fully man had to surrender to God. He had to submit to God, resist the devil so that he could flee, and surrender to God and humble himself through obedience to God, meaning following God's instructions. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in his time for him to face the cross, to endure the cross. The Bible says that despising the shame, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He's already demonstrated to us that he will go through all things for us. Now, how do you reciprocate, and what will you endure before him. See, he had confidence that his Father would see him through. He understood that the Holy Spirit and his resurrecting power was in him and would enable him to be able to fulfill all that the Father had in store. Now let's go to 15, and we're going to look at verse 18 through 25. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. Christ is suffering. See, he is the King of the universe, the creator of all things. Amen. Everything that was made by him. But yet he is going through this suffering. And again, not for his sake, but for our sake. And we're going to understand that again, that the suffering is part of the, not just the purification process, but the perfecting process. Amen. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spit on him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Now they compelled a certain man, Simeon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was going out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place, Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not drink. 24. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And they crucified him. He endured the cross. He endured the cross unto death. He endured the pain of the cross. And remember, the scripture tells us that we are to deny ourselves, amen, and pick up our cross, pick up our cross and follow him. In the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the persecution, the trial, see Jesus, see the cross, and endure the pain, amen, because he is with you, and he has experienced pain and suffering at a depth that you and I have never experienced, and we can't even begin to comprehend. Here's what we need to understand. See, our bad experiences are not accidental, but our windows of preparation to refine us so we can be prepared for what is coming. I wish that I could tell you that better days are coming. I'm going to tell you that God is saying, get ready and be prepared. In Matthew 24, he's already told us that lawlessness would increase, and that many would fall away and their love grow cold. Do you realize he was talking to the church? He was talking to believers. He was talking to those in the synagogue, those who had some faith. I think that we can understand that we are in those days and we are in those times where, again, lawlessness is increasing. Many have fallen away. The things that they are doing inside the church and calling it God is an abomination. All while they still believe that they are serving the God of the Bible, and they absolutely are not, because the God of the Bible is not a man. He cannot lie. He's not going to go back on his word. If he called it an abomination in the Old Testament, it's still one in the New. So those gay pride flags and all of that is not of God. Amen. And saints, we need to understand, when we who are lovers of God and of his word, and we try to share the truth with people, they're going to call us names, bigots, and tell us that we are hateful, and we're trying to put people back under the law and all of those things. Well, it's not true. What we're trying to do is to allow God, the Holy Spirit, so that he can convict them of sin and remind them of the truth of his word, of righteousness, of holiness. You and I must be willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the days are getting darker, but those who are in the light is getting brighter. Why? Because as with Goshen and the Egyptians and the Hebrews, God is doing a separation between wickedness, righteousness, between dark and light. And you cannot sit on the sidelines. You need to believe the word of God, that it is the truth of God, or you're going to be deceived. And the enemy's deception has been subtle. It could not be anything so large and so great that we would notice immediately. During the time of Constantine, he had the scripture rewritten so that the things that related to our Jewish brothers and sisters were removed from the scripture to give us a false doctrine. God is saying, return back to the word, return back to the truth. And God wants us to love his word in its truth and its entirety, not to water it down and not to look for that stuff that tickles our ear. If it is difficult and it challenges us, then we should understand God. Evidently, something that I've been taught is wrong. And Father, I need you to help me because I'm seeking your truth. And we can be confident because he said, if you diligently seek me and you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. He even said that if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, door will be open unto you. God told me I am intentional and purposeful in what I do, and I am raising up a remnant for myself that will not bow a knee to God, that will not compromise on me and my word. And this remnant is going to be large, and they're going to be strong. Remember the days of Elisha? He thought he was the only one that was left, and God said, I always keep a remnant to myself. I've got 7,000 who have never bowed a knee to bow. Jesus said the world hated him, so the world is going to hate us. Amen. Glory be unto God. And those that you love, maybe even in your own household, turn against you. But know that God is in the midst of that. We are living in a day and time where we must become like the Bereans and test everything by the word. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, for to us you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Let's go to Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. He was stricken for our behalf, and the one that did it was God. Amen. The one who did it was God. What is suffering? Suffering, it can be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, and emotional distress, psychological pain, and agony. Now, I want us to go back because, again, in Deuteronomy, we were looking at Moses. He gets the two pillars of the stone with the Ten Commandments on it. He comes back just in time enough to find them acting crazy. Amen. And Moses takes action. He goes back up. the mountain again, second time, and then the third time he goes back, because Moses now is interceding on behalf of not just the people, but his own brother Aaron. Moses was willing to be able to say to God, because of their errors, because of their sin, he said, God, forgive them, because if you can't, then erase my name out of your book. That is compassion. That is love. And he got that from his suffering. Moses lost everything because he decided he could not see what the people were going through before the appointed time. He kills one of the Egyptians. And guess what? Those people, his very own people, turned on him. He has to run for his life because Pharaoh wants to kill him. And then he spends the next 40 years still God causing him to suffer. He has lost things. He's misplaced. He now ends up with a wife. He has a father-in-law that he enjoys and he loves. But now he has the burning bush experience, and God wants him to go back to the same place and to the people who had done and treated him the way that they did. The Bible says, be ye perfect because I am perfect. We cannot perfect ourselves, but the suffering helps us in. God uses it to perfect it. So Jesus' way must become our way. It all begins with self-denial. It begins with self-denial. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Amen. Self-denial. You must say no to your ego. What you want, what you like, what you think, what you feel does not matter. God has a big plan and a purpose, and that is to redeem mankind, that they be reconciled unto him. God's desire from the very beginning has been to reveal himself to man. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, and we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Jesus had to deny himself. 2, he had to live a life of obedience unto God. That is the second step of the purification, making ourselves perfected for God's holy use. Amen. Hebrews 2:10-11. So it was fitting to God the Father, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, that's you and I, to make the author of their salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. So who is the he? He is Christ, who sanctified. Those being sanctified are us, are all in one. Hebrews 5:7 is where we're going to go next. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today he perfected him through his suffering. The next thing is the sacrifice. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, we must become a living sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life for you and I so that we could be received and become the children of the Most High God. I want us to go to 1 Peter 3:10. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Amen. Christ suffered for us. And nowhere in Scripture do we see where he said, it's not right, it's not fair, I cannot do that, why should I have to do that? Christ, again, denied himself, and in denying himself, he became obedient, surrendering to God, humbling himself in total obedience, becoming a sacrifice, and then unto death. We're going to look in Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We must have our hearts set on following God, no matter what the circumstances. Jesus was made perfect through his suffering. The same way he was, so shall we be. Daniel 7:25, and here's where we're going, saints. It reads this way: He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given over into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Amen. We're talking about the Antichrist and the things that are to come. And if we do not allow God to prepare, and I know many say, well, I believe in pre-tribulation, mid-trib, post-trib. I think that what we need to do is allow God to prepare us for a time of suffering so that we can be ready, because we have been well equipped. And we'll be able to understand that God has not abandoned us, but God is purifying us. God is bringing and refining us into perfection and greater use for his glory. I'm going to open it up and see if you have any comments, questions, or thoughts.
I want to say, may I be perfected through my suffering in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
And we touch and agree in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Anyone else?
I just pray that I will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And I will also know that whatever trial or tribulation that I go through in my own personal life, wherever I've come short, I will just believe that God is working it and perfect me in him. And I just pray for courage and strength. And to not give up, no matter what goes on.
And we touch and agree that God will enable you to do that. When we're able to see the big picture and really understand that God is at work and he's not punishing us, he is perfecting us, he's purifying us, then we know that that's the process. And we can say, well, it makes no sense. I agree with you, it doesn't. But did it make sense for Jesus to die? No. Did it make sense for him to be crucified? Absolutely not. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But God is good. He does all things well. And everything he does for those who love him, he does it for our good. He knows what is ahead of us, just like he knows what was behind us. And he's always preparing us for what is to come. And when we understand the truth of God's word, then the enemy is not able to come in and persuade us that, you know, that God is not faithful, that God has left us. Oh, that we're just such a worm or a screw up that God can't use us. We can never get it right. No, no, no. God chose us to enter into the suffering of Christ Jesus for his glory. Amen. God is working some things because we're going to be those end time witnesses, that remnant that will stand and declare our God is God and he is good and he is perfect in his way. And as it says in Revelation, we're able to say we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not this life even unto death. Amen. He's worthy and he's worth it all. God is more concerned with our inner man than he is with our outer one. Amen. He's more concerned with us being transformed into the image of his son than how large your bank account is, how big your car and your house is. Not that those things are not nice, and I'm not trying to mock anyone that has that, but that's not how God measures success. God measures it based on how we become like his son, how much we are willing to deny ourselves, to walk before him in obedience, glory be unto God, to become a living sacrifice.
I just want to add to, I totally agree that suffering is necessary. When I was an early Christian, I never understood, but when Jesus said that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, his life on earth showed the way that suffering was necessary. And over the years, what I gathered was that he was pruning me to be a better person. He was actually removing all that is not of his, all my own desires, my passions, my dreams. In fact, even remove all my friends that I thought they were good for me. You know, initially it was a struggle. But when I really sought and thought and reflected on the situation, then I realized he was leading me to a better life. A life that is full of peace, true love, true joy. You know, even the friends that he removed, then I realized they were actually hindering me into becoming who I'm supposed to be. You know, I like the part where I initially was struggling. I used to question why Judas has to be in the 12th. And I felt it was for a reason. And being in ministry, I realized there's been a lot of betrayal too. Initially, I used to be so bitter. Then I realized, oh, Jesus went through. He's teaching us how to discern. And no, there will be betrayal. Betrayal is to teach me how to be forgiving, to be loving. And forgiveness was so important in my life, the other person. When I forgive, I become right with God. Yes, it's a narrow journey, but I also beginning to realize more and more. As I realize, it is the only journey that leads me to life. And then we think we finish, there's another suffering comes along. But in that, all that suffering, I like to share what God showed me is Psalm 23 verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And that verse struck me because I realized that in all that suffering, I'm not alone. Even friends may leave, families may not understand, but he is with me. And that's what I would like to share with you all, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow, I will not be afraid, for he is with us. He is with me. His rod and his staff of comfort is an opportunity. That's why I think Moses really could go through that 40 years of suffering, being alone, isolated, because at the end he knew the Lord was with him and the Lord is with us. That's all.
Know that that's what God did for me. when he radically changed me, most of those that are chosen, you are not going to fit. Amen. And that is deliberately and intentionally. You will fit well with God and fit well with those that are of like-minded and of that same desire to live for him. But you do not fit anywhere. But the suffering is for a reason. And again, it is for our good, not for our bad. There is no evil in God. He has promised us that he knows the plans that he has for us. They are for good, not for evil, to give us hope and an expected outcome. Suffering for Christ, suffering for the kingdom of God is a beautiful thing. Amen. Obedience unto God brings forth his blessing. And what you were sharing brings us to Luke chapter 15. I am the vine. You are the branches. My Father is the gardener. Amen. And if you don't produce any fruit, what is he going to do? He's going to cut you off and throw you in the fire. But if you do produce some fruit, the Bible says he's going to prune you so that you can produce even more fruit. Anyone else?
He did such an amazing job to forewarn us of the things to come. Even within our families, I recently went through an experience that was really jaw-dropping for me. As Pastor Shira was talking, the Lord just gave me this scripture, Matthew 10, 34 and 36. Jesus really set the expectation for us to understand that his word that is a sword will cause division in our families. And because there are some amongst our brethren or within our family that will believe the word of God, and there is some that will not believe the word of God. And I have to say, from a firsthand experience, when we think of suffering, I know it's often, you know, we think of it as the big things that would happen that would probably bring pain to our flesh or whatever we have going on. But for me, one of the biggest suffering is seeing people whom I grew with as a child, loved each other, watch them go away that leads to their destruction. As the scripture says, that that path is wide and there are many are there who find it. To me, it's one of the most painful things because I cherish family. But when I go back to the word of God, he has already set the expectation for me. Listen, there's going to be division. There's going to be people who are going to go left while you're going right. And when that happens, just know that that's the word of God that is causing that division. Some will believe in it and others just won't. And don't feel lonely, because I believe that's where Jesus says, he's always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that we have to take comfort in that.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And again, when we look at those that God used, that he chose in the faith, when we look at King David and all that David went through, but yet God says to David, when David is in 2 Samuel and he wants to build the temple, he tells Nathan to tell David, I have been with you everywhere you have gone. So that means that when he was hiding in caves from Saul, because Saul was trying to kill him and Saul's army, that God was there. Amen. God didn't intervene, but he protected him and he kept him. Why? Because God was producing something out and through David, because he knew he had chosen him to be the next king. And David waited 20 years, went through the suffering and the training, because God wanted and said, he's a man after my own heart, and he wanted the next king. The other example I will give you is Joseph. What did Joseph do? Joseph had some dreams that came from God, shared it with his family. His brothers grew to hate him because he was his dad's favorite. They threw him in a pit where there was no water, and he's begging for his life. They're ignoring him. They sell him into slavery. And in that slavery, Joseph hadn't done anything. But God said in Psalms 105, he is the one that did it. He's the one who did it. He sent him there in fetters and in chains. Why? Because he commanded a famine to come, and he had sent one before them to preserve life. Saints, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, but God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And we must trust and believe that as we are enduring the suffering, because they who endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. Amen. And the other thing is, God is not going to give you an explanation. Look at all that Job went through. And God never told Job why the things happened to him happened to him. Amen. That's our God. That's the word. And we must come back to the truth, because if we only base God's love for us based on these temporary things, your bank account, your house, your car, and how easy life is for you, then we're going to be led astray, and the enemy will convince us that God is not our God, and he has left and he has forsaken us, and is absolutely not the truth. The chosen ones are targeted even more by the kingdom of darkness, because he wants to stop your testimony and cause you to turn away from God. The saints, be steadfast. Amen. And be fully persuaded and convinced, because you know that you know that our God is God, and forever and ever he's worthy of the praise. Amen. Hortensia, Are you in a place where you can close us out in prayer?
Our Father and our Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you for your presence, oh Lord God, that took over and led, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, oh Lord God, for the words that came to me, oh Father. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we may be found worthy, oh Lord God, in those last days, oh Father. And we may be chosen, oh Lord God, to serve and to do your work, oh King of glory. Father, Lord, come and dwell within our homes, oh Lord God, within our hearts, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I continue leading and guiding and ordering our steps, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I bless this night, oh Lord God, I bless everyone that made it here, oh Lord God. And I pray for those that were unable, oh Lord God, to join tonight, that you will bless them still with the word after they listen to this record, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you and we honor your name tonight. And we pray that may you take all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.